Good evening. Tonight, I'm going to talk about John Wycliffe, who is one of the earliest reformers, and the way he impacted the rest of the Protestant Reformation. His death was almost exactly 100 years before Martin Luther's birth, and it was he that planted many of the seeds that sprouted into the Protestant Reformation as we know it. John Wycliffe was born around 1320 in the town of Hipswell near Richmond in Yorkshire, England. Little is known about his early life, except that he was attending Oxford by the time he was a teenager. He would eventually become one of the faculty at Oxford himself, and for years afterwards, his name would be closely associated with that university. He became a doctor of theology and was appointed rector of Lutterworth Parish. As the planet Venus, the morning star, heralds the sunrise, so Wycliffe, the morning star of the Reformation, led the way for what was to come. He strongly opposed the Catholic Church in many ways. He rejected the authority of the Pope over the Church and stated that Christ, not the Pope, is the head of the Church in his book titled On Divine Authority. Of course, the original title was in Latin, but since I don't speak Latin, I'll just stick with the translation. In another of his works, he attacked the corruptness of the monks and friars who were growing wealthy off the people in the name of the Church. He was really quite animated about the subject, calling them leeches of society and all sorts of other names. He also disregarded the concept of purgatory and condemned pilgrimages, the sale of indulgences, and praying to saints. Another doctrine he targeted was the assertion that the Church had authority over the English nation. This teaching won him the support of the English crown and nobility, for a time at least, and his influential friends protected him from the counterattacks of the Church. Many of these powerful friends separated themselves from him, though, when he published a work that refuted the doctrine of transubstantiation, which was the belief that the bread and wine actually turned into the body and blood of Christ during the Eucharist. Many considered that he had gone too far with this and separated themselves from him at that time. Wycliffe's most important doctrine, however, was the one that set the cornerstone of the Reformation, and that was the doctrine of sola scriptura, or that Scripture and Scripture alone is the authority for the Church and Christian life. It was he and a group of other scholars that first translated the Bible from the Latin Vulgate into the English language so that the common people could have access to it. Now remember, this is before the days of the printing press, so every scripture they distributed had to be meticulously written out by hand. Wycliffe faced stiff opposition from the Catholic Church. He was called to trial before the Church several times. First, in 1377, he was summoned before the Bishop of London. This trial never got anywhere, however, because two of Wycliffe's powerful supporters, the Duke of Gaunt and Earl Marshal Henry Percy, accompanied him to defend him. A crowd of Wycliffe's lay supporters also gathered. After an exchange of hot words between the prosecutors and the Duke of Gaunt, the assembly disintegrated into an uproar and dissolved. In March of 1378, he was again called to trial, this time at Lambeth Palace. This trial, however, was interrupted by a messenger from the Queen Mother, Joan of Kent, which said that the bishops were not to make a final decision on Wycliffe or his doctrines, and stated that she did not believe that Wycliffe was a heretic. The bishops were afraid to continue, and the meeting disbanded. In 1382, a synod was held in London in which 24 of Wycliffe's doctrines were either condemned as heretical or erroneous by the Catholic Church. During the proceedings, an earthquake shook the assembly violently, causing it to be nicknamed the Earthquake Synod. Interestingly, both Wycliffe and his opponents took the quake as a sign from God against the other. That same year, Wycliffe was summoned before the synod at Oxford. This time, he was neither excommunicated or branded as a heretic as before, but he was dismissed from his position at the university because of his teachings. Wycliffe returned to his parish at Lutterworth, where he spent the remainder of his life as rector of the church there. It was during this time that he accomplished the translation of the Bible that I mentioned earlier, so that, quote, Christian men could study the gospel in the language they know best, unquote. His teachings were spread far wide among the common people by the poor priests, or lawlers, as they were commonly known. These men were laymen who were trained in the scriptures and went about as itinerant priests, armed with Wycliffe's new translation of the Bible. In this way, his teachings were spread all across England, and his impact was even felt on the continent of Europe, as two of his students at Oxford were from Bohemia, and they took his teachings to their homeland with them, where they profoundly affected John Huss, who later became another of the great pre-Luther reformers. Wycliffe remained true to his reformed beliefs into old age and continued to send out tracts against the Pope and the corrupt clergy. On December 28th, in 1384, he suffered a stroke while saying Mass in his church. He died 2 days later at the age of 64. In 1415, nearly 30 years after his death, Wycliffe was condemned as a heretic by the Catholic Church, and his writings were ordered to be destroyed, and his bones exhumed and burned. In 1428, the sentence was carried out, and Wycliffe's bones were dug up, burned, and his ashes dumped into the River Swift. But this could not erase the effect he had had. As English churchman and historian Thomas Fuller noted, they burned his bones to ashes and cast them into the Swift, a neighboring brook running hard by. Thus, the brook hath conveyed them into the ashes into Avon, the Avon into Severn, and Severn into the narrow seas, and they into the main ocean. And thus, the ashes of Wycliffe are the emblem of his doctrine, which is now dispersed the world over. So what was his impact? True, much of his teachings were branded as heretical by the Catholic Church and suppressed after his death, but he did till the soil of England and the world for the Reformation that was to come. He directly influenced John Huss through his teachings brought back to Bohemia by his students, and many of Luther's doctrines were foreshadowed by those of John Wycliffe, such as his teaching of sola scriptura. The torch he passed on was carried further by others. In the end, it was as Fuller said, his teachings did spread all over the world.